land to live righteously. It's time for another edition of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 15th of August. We're here at the house of the party, joined by DJ Rob, because that'd be weird to do an episode at your house, I guess, with you not here. Right, Rob? I guess it would be a little. Although, I think we've done it one time.
I think we have.
Or, like, I left the door open. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've done it one time without you here. And also, it's Molly Jenny, everybody.
Hi.
Yay.
Back from traveling with her, we can say, boyfriend.
Yep, with my boyfriend.
I'm sure we'll hear all about that. Because traveling with your boyfriend as an adult, that's where temptations happen.
I know, seriously. If you share the same room or the same bed, things happen.
Yep.
You know, and that's the funny thing is, like, adults will be adults.
Yeah, or maybe they won't be. We'll find out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gun, gun, dun, tease, tease, and tease.
I know, because Larissa and I were dating. We went to Vegas together.
Oh, the Sin City. You guys went to Sin City.
And nothing happened.
Yeah?
Nothing.
But you ended up getting married. Is it because you had to?
Nope. Do we have a kid?
You have a cat.
Right. Okay. That's what happened.
You got a cat? Then.
That's what happened on that trip. We had cats.
That's some kinky.
No.
Nope.
No. Nope. Erase, Molly
delete,
Jenny.
Delete,
nope.
Delete.
I'll edit that
delete,
out.
Delete. Thank you.
He will never delete
nope.
it.
Nope.
As long as you say it. Because he'll like. And even the times when he seems to delete himself, he always forgets.
Yeah, no. I never do. That's not completely true. I've done it a couple times.
Yes, yes, you have.
But only after a lot of insistence and, hey, did you really make sure that you took that out? Because I really need to make sure that that's not in this episode.
And I owe you one.
Yeah. Not that it was you.
Right.
I mean, because what would you say?
Right.
I mean, what?
Certainly not what I just said.
Yeah. So what's new for you guys?
Rob?
Anything? Rob? We're going to hear all about vacation from Molly Jenny. So get ready. It's Janamanizing a vacation with Molly Jenny.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah. It's going to be a story.
Bow, bow, bow. We're going to let Jenny go first.
Okay.
Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah, ladies first, lady.
Thanks.
You're
hey, lady,
the lady.
Man, lady. Lady, man, lady.
She's a lady.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
she's a lady.
Oh, I thought you were showing us your hand, and I was like, did she get engaged?
No, she's doing single ladies. All the single ladies.
Yeah, that's my lady contribution to your song.
Yeah, thanks for not singing that song.
But we were singing Tom... Mm-hmm.
Tom Jones.
Yep. So I wanted to be...
It's not unusual to be loved by... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
You know, I have only, I think that I can recall one time before, gone on an actual vacation. I mean, I have traveled, but for work or for an event or a family obligation.
Shut up.
No, a family obligation.
Like a reunion or something like that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
But as far as just like vacation go,
right.
You've never... I'm calling BS.
Okay.
Sorry,
and
what?
When did I go?
Well, I don't know you that well, but
no,
you can't
I went...
tell me that it's that's like your second vacation in your...
Entire
adult
lifetime?
Life.
Oh, and you're
adult
so
life.
So are we going 18 plus?
Yes.
When did you get married?
Wow.
When I was 20.
So this is your first vacation without kids.
When did I get married?
Yeah.
19 years ago.
Today.
So, yeah!
So this is the second time in your adult life you've gone on vacation without kids. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not just without kids, but without...
Wait, you never went on a vacation with kids that didn't have some sort of work tie or familial obligation?
Right, or yeah, like a family
really?
Reunion. Yeah, a family reunion or some sort of like event.
That you had to travel for. You were never just like, hey, husband, now ex-husband, and kids, we're going to Elko, Nevada for... This weekend.
Why
because
Elko?
It's something.
Erda. We went to
Erda. We went to... No, but you know what I'm saying? That never was a thing?
No.
All right.
It's not something that we did.
So let's just pretend this just was awesome.
That's fine. So, but I mean, one time, I want to say it was in March, maybe 2010, 2011 or so, I went with some ladies and we went to Vegas, just to go.
Okay,
right?
so that's the other time.
That's a vacation, yeah, right?
Yes, the other time you
like
went.
Like when it's like, we're going to go so that we can be on vacation.
And
not
worry
an
about a thing. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Not yeah, with no worry is I think maybe the definition.
Okay.
Hakuna Matata.
When I went to Africa. Wait. So anyway, yeah, I went on a vacation with my boyfriend.
Yeah?
We went to where he grew up.
Now, we were joking though.
Is he from northern Montana?
He's from western Montana, western Montana.
Where? Like Kalispell?
South of Kalispell, but we did go to
Whitefish.
Kalispell. Corvallis. Actually, wait.
Corvallis
Hamilton?
Is... Okay.
In the Bitterroot Valley.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys were meant for each other.
Right?
He's from Hamilton.
He's from where you love.
So
we were joking around about it, though, but was there crap given to you either by your kids to you or his kids to you guys or anyone around being like, ooh, a trip, ooh, hey.
With what implication?
Yeah, with those implications.
Of being...
Fraternizing?
Being inappropriate or of like... Well, I had one friend that when I got home, she's like, are you married?
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not married. I would tell you if I were married.
Right.
I know, because people who are... our age and right. see that happening and they're like, oh, they're not with a bunch of, it's just one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And usually people our age who are doing that are going to Lake Powell with a bunch of other people their same age.
Yeah, sure. So single folks.
Right. Yeah, and I remember when my ex was engaged and he and his now wife went somewhere and I had some friends who were like, oh, they're totally sleeping together. And I was like, you know, I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something they would do. Also, super none of my business.
Yeah.
But
let's just back up real quick.
Right.
Super, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, they can do whatever they're grown ups.
Yeah. And so Larissa wrote a whole blog about this.
Yeah, you can find it at theculturehall.com. In fact, we'll share it again.
Yeah, I think she wrote about it 3 years ago about the appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you shouldn't go to Vegas with somebody you're dating.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because having been married and now being unmarried, I kind of have this like list of things that I think are a good idea to do before you marry a person.
Of course.
And one of them is go on a trip together.
Yes.
So that you know how you travel with one another.
Exactly.
Now,
well, but in your case, it doesn't matter because you don't travel. So,
well, for real. Now I do. Now I'm a vacationer.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm those people.
Yeah.
I'm vacation people now.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't do with my wife before we got married was... Well, one thing, consummate. And then two thing, live
so
together.
Sexy. We never consummated.
That's so romantic.
We didn't share a house together. That was the hardest transition is moving in with each other.
Sharing that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal.
I didn't say anything. I just was laughing. Mm-hmm. I was merely laughing.
Anyway.
To be clear, though, something that you said, you know, about like one-on-one, mm-hmm. we weren't alone.
Oh.
The Holy Ghost was with you.
Oh, that's nice.
His son was with us.
And his son. That's what
yeah.
I meant.
Yeah. Same, same. So
he goes to bed at midnight. He keeps you guys acting appropriately.
He does go to bed at midnight. No, but so that was...
Tells you when you're doing something wrong.
He just whispers it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Sometimes the music's too loud. I can't hear it.
Sure, sure. I mean, sometimes you can't. No, so it was just you, your boyfriend, and your boyfriend's son.
Yes.
That's nice.
And for part of the time, also my boyfriend's mom.
Okay.
Yeah, when we went from...
Had you met her before?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. When we went from where they live up to where Rob said Kalispell and took Glacier and stuff. And we stopped in Yellowstone on the way up and also Virginia City and Nevada City, these ghost towns, these like old mining towns that are so commercialized. It's hilarious. And I love it. It's really
commercialized ghost towns.
Yes.
Okay. What do you mean?
They're old mining towns.
It seems like they can't be in the same thing.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so I say ghost town because, but also I say mining town because they are these old mining communities that they have just, and ghost town in the sense that they've just kind of tried to preserve as much as they can. Mm-hmm. But it's a summer destination for people who come from apparently all over to work the summers
mm-hmm.
in these two towns. They're a mile and a half down the road from each other
mm-hmm.
To do things like learn gold mining and
gold panning.
Is that what it is?
When you
yeah,
pan
that's
for
sorry.
Gold?
Yeah, I yeah. said mining. It's
yeah,
panning.
Mining is different.
Yep, I didn't mine gold. Mine for gold, but I did pan for.
How
gold.
Was that?
It was awesome.
I've never done it, and it's a thing that I've wanted to do since like I used to watch PBS. There was this thing on the weekends,
uh-huh.
some show that was
Electric
like,
Company. You, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you'd learn how to pan for gold.
Yeah,
like watching it on TV, and I was like, we need to get a sledge, and we need to go out, and we need to sledge for gold, and we want to pan for gold. Mm-hmm. You find big nuggets like they did on the show, and
yeah.
Nope,
I've done that. It's fun. Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
You've never done
it's
it?
It's fun when you're a kid.
I think it would be fun.
You just
now.
Get a little shovel and a little tray and you sift out
there,
the sand.
You wash
the
dirt.
To it. There's a technique mm-hmm. to it, right?
Yeah,
with the pan.
Yeah. And to be honest, at first I thought it was going to be super boring and I was bored with it, but then I kind of got into it and I was like, no, I want to keep going. I already filled up my little vial with all the pretty rocks and I was like, no, I want
to
do more.
You're supposed to fill it with gold, not rocks.
Well, maybe there's gold in there.
Yeah? No. You don't know.
You don't know. But I made a video of it on my Instagram.
Oh, I haven't watched that one. Yeah. And then you did a video of the big horned sheep. That was way cool.
Oh my gosh. So when we're in...
Are you going to share these on the Cultural Hall space Instagram? Because otherwise this does us no good to talk about.
Yeah, we...
But just imagine big horned sheep running 5 feet away from you.
Yeah. I mean, we drove... one of the days we were at Glacier, we drove from the west entrance over... It's called Going to the Sun Road, all the way over Logan Pass to the east entrance and decided to drive... I drove back and come around this bend by Logan Pass. When we had gone east the first time, the visitor center was just saturated with people, and so we couldn't even stop there. Mm-hmm. And it was near there, so I was afraid that the same thing was going on. All these cars are stopped. I'm like, oh, great. It's a traffic jam. No, cars were stopped because these bighorn sheep were just running down the road, and everyone was just letting them pass. So, yeah, did that. And
did you rip off their horns and then call for Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah. No.
I tried rag me check. Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Them golden red horns. Joshua, dang it!
I don't know. I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. That's about it.
What?
Okay.
But yeah, and so yeah, we did that, and I mean, it was amazing. I had a great time. Best thing we did, I think, as far as like all the activities and stuff that we did.
Yes.
Did you go to church?
No, actually, we didn't. We usually do, and we were ready to go to church. Mm-hmm. That Sunday morning, we had plans to meet up with one of his best friends from high school and go to Glacier that day. So we had brought our church clothes. We were going to just go to a sacrament meeting, actually, so then we could go to, you know, brunch and then go off to the park.
Brunch.
But something about, like, hearing from the friend, and it was, like, we kind of got the idea that it was urgent that we go earlier rather than later. Mm-hmm. So we did.
Okay.
And we, yeah. But usually, yes.
Cool.
Both of us individually would
go. I would
go
just
to
be curious what the ward around Glacier would be like.
Oh, yeah.
Because lots of Mormons travel. I would wonder if it would be like, you know, t-shirts and short congregation or if it would be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like when they go to church in San Diego, like there's always the people that you can tell live there and then everyone else was like, oh, shoot. We should have really brought church clothes. You know what?
Right,
we'll be fine.
Right.
I'll go in flip-flops and shorts. They don't care. They're glad I'm there.
Yeah. No, we brought church clothes, but didn't end up using them.
Nice.
So, and oh, by Kalispell and Glacier, Flathead Lake cherries. Stop at a stand and get some and wash them and eat them. You're welcome. They're
delicious.
So good. Yeah, and we were there at the exact right time of year. Mm. But the best thing we did, I think, as far as things that, you know, activities, like I said, we rode the Hiawatha bike trail. Now, this trail was referenced by Elder Stanfill last October General Conference.
Okay.
You know, and his talk is called Choose the Light. But where he talked about riding in a tunnel and his light had gone out or he didn't have one or something, and so he had to rely on his friend's bike light.
Uh-huh.
But it's this 15-mile bike trail on the Idaho-Montana border.
Uh-huh.
And it's a gradual downhill. I mean, really gradual. You hardly notice it. But there were families there, like, you know, pulling their kids in the bike trailers or even with the, what do you call it? You know, like the attachment where the kid is pedaling. But
sure.
It's, you know, but their front wheel is your back wheel.
Right. I don't know what they're called.
I don't know either. But
it's where
something.
Your kid's the back wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. But also kids like riding their own bikes and stuff. And the first almost 2 miles of it is a tunnel. It's a converted railroad track.
Freaky?
The tunnel?
Yeah.
A little. Well, it's like, it's...
Because at some point you probably can't see light like at the other end, right?
No, you can't at all. For most of it, you can't.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dusty at the entrances, but in the middle, I mean, it's just, you know, the dank, moist cave that you'd think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a light is required. It's about 40 degrees pretty
cool.
Consistently, so pretty cool. You get it? See?
Because I said cool.
Right. You always say that.
Thanks, Rob.
And there are other, you know, there are other shorter tunnels and trestles and things, and about 3 miles of it is shared road, but then it converts to a trail. You can rent bikes. You'll put them on your car.
Cool, the Hiawatha Trail.
Yeah, Hiawatha Trail. And we were gone, we took our time, but probably were gone about 5 hours total.
Jeez, that sounds gorgeous.
And then they shuttle you back up to about 2 miles out, and then you bike back in. And, man,
See what vacationing is like. You may do it again.
Gosh, I may. Give me another.
I've heard of this. I've heard tales of this.
So. This vacation.
What is it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
All right, DJ Rob, what's up?
All right. Last time we talked, I hadn't talked to you about we saw my wife perform in Beauty and the Beast. You didn't get to see it, though.
Well, no.
Do you have your tickets yet? They're selling out.
No, I don't.
Out.
And if we have time, I'm going to sit by a computer with the wife of the party and buy my tickets today while I'm here. Because there's only four performances where she's in that have tickets left.
Okay. Well, I know how we can get some comp tickets, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to pay. I'm more than willing to pay.
All right. But, yeah, so she was in that, and she's one of Gaston's silly girls. And so I don't want to spoil it for you, but there was this one part that, oh, my gosh, I audibly laughed out loud. It was so funny. And it's towards the end in the scene where they're storming the castle.
Okay.
And they're trying to kill the beast and the whole village.
So this, does the show run, the stage play run the exact
same as the movie?
No, because there's extra songs.
Okay.
Yeah. You've never seen Beauty and the Beast musical?
No, I have, Rob.
It was the first Disney-produced musical for Broadway, and so they added maybe three or four songs.
Mm-hmm. And it was the first one that toured internationally.
Sure. That makes sense because it was the first one. First one. And so there was a lot of funny stuff in it. It's very magical. It's a lot of fun. So if you have a chance to go see it.
Well, you only have four more chances, apparently.
Well, if you already have season tickets, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday mornings, if you bring West your Valley little kids, you can see her on the mornings. So you don't have a matinee today, do you? No.
Nope. She's making cookies. Which, by the way, one of the rules of having the beeps in the background is I get one of these cookies. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
And tomorrow we're going to go on tour with some of her cast members.
Go on tour?
Yeah,
to
we're
schools?
Going. No, we're going to Cedar City and then St. George.
Oh, cool.
And so going I say tour, to I'm the, just being funny. Yeah, we're going to go see one show at the Shakespeare Festival, which is called Coconuts.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to go see Hunchback tomorrow night at the Tuacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to stay the night and then drive back up.
Well, because that's what you do when you're in a show. You got to do things so like that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Anything else?
I don't know.
You owe me money.
I owe you money.
It's wedding season.
Yeah, Richie and I co-DJed a wedding, kind of, on Friday.
Tag team?
Yeah, I got there.
Well, not really. Rob did it, and I stood there, and then he left, and I took over. So
right,
not
exactly.
Tag team.
We kind of stood there and did background music together and chatted. And so
it's funny, DJing weddings, like it's, you know, the principle of hurry up and wait? It really is like that. Like, you have to go and get set up, and you have to, you know, it's like all this running crazy, right, for playing background music for when the wedding starts.
Sure,
yes.
And then for what people always assume is going to be like an hour, because they're like, we'll do a line, but it'll only last an hour, and then we're going to convert. Nope.
No.
Here's the thing. If you're not married and you're planning on doing a line, you're an idiot. But beyond that, if you're planning on doing the line and having it be a short-lived thing, also, not the smartest thing, because here's the deal. You'll get almost finished with the line, and inevitably, the people that come later that want to catch the last part of the line will get there, and then there will be another line for the line. The line at this particular wedding was supposed to only go an hour. It ended up going an hour and a half, and in that time, I'm just standing there playing music, getting paid. And then you have to hurry up and be like, all right, well, I know you guys wanted to dance for an hour, but now we only have 35 minutes, and you have to feel like 35 minutes is like an hour, so I have to bring an absolute A game with no sort of pauses, whereas if
just
I had a
boom,
little
boom,
bit more
boom,
time,
boom,
it's
boom.
Just,
yeah.
You can kind of ramp up to it, but nope, boom.
No.
It's improv.
And then, and then Saturday night at a wedding up at Snow Basin, you take a gondola up, you take all your equipment up, and destination wedding. A lot of the people from out of town, lots of Latin American folk there.
See?
And I've never really done a full-blown kind of wedding like this where they wanted a lot of Mexican stuff. And they do this thing called the snake. Have you guys ever heard of this?
Not in this context.
So you do it right after the bouquet and garter toss. And so the bride and groom stand on chairs, and then they have the veil. So they make a little bridge, and you go underneath the bridge. And so the women all grab hands, and then they do a snake, a line.
Okay.
And they go underneath it, and they go around the dance party. And then the men do it. And so I've never seen it before.
Oh,
but
wow.
It was a lot of fun. And so it was one of those weddings that kind of help validate what I do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do it and you don't get thanks or you don't feel really, but that was amazing. I had another DJ in Sundance and he broke up a fight.
For real?
Yes. I have been DJing for about 13, 14 years. I have never had to break up a fight. And he's been working for me for a year, and he broke up a fight.
Who's this?
Todd.
Todd broke up a fight, huh?
Yes. And so I think it was a cousin and another cousin, and they were arguing, and one just clocked the other.
Jeez.
And then the other one got up.
I love her. And then
the husband interfered, and then the one that started the fight jumped on the husband's back.
Jeez.
And that's when Todd's like, okay. It just, like, escalated like that. He jumped. He grabs the lady, pulls him off the back, and then the other lady who got hit first clocks the other lady.
Are there lady cousins?
Yes.
Females. Who are people?
And this is not like a backyard white trash wedding.
Not that you just said that, but
right.
Gotcha.
No,
but it's a Sundance, so that's a thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. And they got and he broke up the fight, and as soon as that was over, he turns up the music and he's like, all right, you're excused to the buffet. You know, so he just went right from the fight to smoothing things over.
Wow.
And he runs up to the bride and groom like, don't worry about what just happened. Let's go ahead and get you guys to the buffet.
Life of the party, brothers and sisters.
And then I'll say this, because this is the only thing that I have to share that's been going on. Otherwise, there hasn't been a single thing going on for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I DJed a wedding. Or not a wedding, the Antique Roadshow, that TV
show. Yeah,
you got to
tell
about
this. Yes, they were here.
They were here.
Wow.
And they filmed three shows. They're hoping to have three shows worth of Antiques Roadshow. You know what that is, right?
Yes.
Where people walk in. They were at the Salt Palace, and Richie DJed their after party.
Right. So it was all the production people and some of the estimators and assessors, whatever.
Yeah.
So I got to do it, and it was at Squatters, which is a brew pub here in Salt Lake. It's downtown Salt Lake. And right next to Squatters is Lofts, where people live.
Mm-hmm.
And we were outside doing the music. And there's probably a sound ordinance for Salt Lake. Probably.
It's 10.
It is probably like 10 or maybe 11.
Mm-hmm.
But the gig went till 1 in the morning.
Sure.
And the cops got called. Mm-hmm. Cops showed up.
What time?
Cops showed up probably about 12:30, 12:45.
So shortly before he had to wrap up.
Before I was going to wrap it up anyway. So cops get there, and we decided that, you know what? We don't want to end this party quite yet, even though the cops are here. So we fired up a little Journey and Don't Stop Believing and made the Salt Lake City Police Department sing Don't Stop Believing with us before we shut that party down.
Did you microphone them, or did they just kind of sway and sing with you?
No, nobody needed a microphone. Everyone was plenty loud.
So I said to Richie, like, you missed out on the perfect opportunity. Whenever cops show up to a wedding or to an event, you play Bad Boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Naturally.
And, well, now I know. I'm just an amateur.
You really don't. You shouldn't play it.
No, I will.
Probably not.
You don't want to get on their bad side.
No.
Because that party will get shut down quick.
But Salt Lake City's finest singing Don't Stop Believin'.
All right.
Life-saving DJs.
Before we get your emails, can you explain to our viewers and to our listeners the recent change in bearding and hairstyling? It looks like you're just growing everything out.
Me?
No, he's talking to me.
Because your beard is something fierce.
So you're growing out the beard and your hair is getting all like...
Here's the deal.
You're starting to look like one of the brothers from Pete's Dragon. Remember that?
One of the Grogan?
Gogans?
Gogans. The Gogans?
I think it was the Gogans.
That's actually what it is. There's a stage production. It will be the 7th of
that's Disney. I got a bill of sale right here.
Says it belongs to us. You know how you get in that point in life where... How do you put this delicately?
Well, I like how Kyle said it on Facebook, which is, cool, nobody has a beard and a man bun.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. Wife of the party's coming at me with shears that they used on the cat. sometimes there are other things that take your focus and attention?
Yes.
Breathing.
DJing weddings?
Breathing. So I just, in my most delicate way of saying it, I just don't care.
Oh, okay.
I've given up caring on how this looks, and we'll take a picture so we can have this on Instagram. I've sort of given up for the time.
Well, in the words of, they're taking a picture right now.
In the words
Peter
of,
Gabriel, Don't give up.
Oh. No.
Give up. He actually didn't. It was somebody else sang the chorus, yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
I thought you were going to say, so?
Yeah, so.
No, I just, other things. Mm-hmm. But I really like it, and I wanted to for a long time. I haven't had long hair for probably 7 or 8 years.
Do you care?
Long hair, don't care. Mm. But the beard thing, the beard's starting to get obnoxious. When I run at the gym and sweat gets down on the bottom of my goatee, and I just... It's just sort of dripping out of my beard.
Ew.
Okay. All right, let's get to those emails.
All right, yeah. Let's do the emails. So. First one from Teb. On Articles of News, May 27th, just Joni briefly touched on a book planted by Patrick Q. Mason. Says, my wavering faith picked up on her thoughts and I knew that I had to get this book. Got it. Planted has made a real difference for me. It's crazy how God answers prayers sometimes. Mason's thought on doubts, faith, and believing within the church are so real, honest, and frank. Might I suggest an interview with Patrick on said book? Genius is this man and his approach to finding ways to help curb a rapidly growing crisis of dwindling faith. So the book planted by Patrick Q. Mason. And Teb goes on, for the record, I forget that the Cultural Hall is an all-volunteer show in podcast form. Just want to thank you for such selflessness. Your efforts do not go unnoticed. Each of you make a difference and reach people. I know because you've positively enhanced my little sphere.
Thank you. Thank you, Teb. And is that short for Tebony?
It is. And this one from Kevin.
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin Nealon.
Hello, Richie and others. It's been a long time since I've emailed the Cultural Hall. I want to take Molly to task on something that she said.
Hey, she's here.
The Pioneer Trek... She said that the Pioneer Trek was stupid and disrespectful. So mm-hmm. This is a little while back, but...
Mm-hmm. We should keep talking about it.
He wants to strongly disagree. I think this will put it to bed, but I just want to share this email.
Because after this, all arguments are done over.
Right, as we all know, that's how it works.
Yeah, after Kevin speaks. First of all, Molly, if it was so disrespectful, I don't think the church would go through all the trouble to dedicate Martin's Cove.
Excellent point. The church never makes mistakes. Keep going.
Second... careful.
No, I say
it's
that.
It's not a mistake for them to dedicate Martin's Cove.
No, and I, that was me being cocky. Yeah, for sure. But let me.
Keep going.
So this will keep going. Second, remember that the church did a major pioneer trek in 1997 that President Hinckley approved of.
Yep.
I would love to do a pioneer trek someday. In fact, when I was 17 years old, I had an opportunity to do a pioneer trek. I turned it down because I was at a summer work experience program for blind people. I should have gone anyway, he says. I deeply regret not going. I think it's a good experience to... I think it is good to experience what our ancestors went through. It makes us appreciate that we have more when we do things like pioneer treks. I absolutely hate it when people say, the pioneers did this so I don't have to. We live in a crazy world right now. I wouldn't be surprised if someday many of us church members would be required to go to the mountains and set up communities. Jenny, at that point, would you say the pioneers did this so I don't have to? Then you would be questioning why you and many others had to go to the mountains and set up a community. I'm not saying this will happen, but I want you to read The Cleansing of America by Cleon Skousen. I don't know if everything he said in that book is true, but if even half of it is true, we cannot have this mentality that the pioneers did this so I don't have to. That is a very bad attitude to have, says Kevin. I also want to say something about unplugging from electronic devices. I love going camping off the grid and not having my electronic devices connected to the cell phone towers for a time. In 2014, I went camping with my cousin at Washington Lake, next to Trial Lake, that's here in Utah. Our cell phones didn't work up there unless I wanted to listen to music that I had downloaded on my phone or something like that. Instead, I just took advantage of the situation and just looked at the time on my phone every so often. I think it's great to unplug from the world every so often. You would agree with Kevin in this respect, correct?
Sure.
Since I did unplug from the world during the first week of August 2014, I had some great conversations with my cousin that I may not have had otherwise. The only thing that I might make an exception for as far as unplugging from the world is a ham radio, because with a ham radio, I can communicate during emergencies. Something were to happen in the mountains and I had no cell phone service, I would get some help on my ham radio because that makes great communications during an emergency. But what better way to unplug from our electronic devices than a Pioneer Trek? Just so you all know, my cousin and I were camping in his camper off the grid.
May I digress?
I know. That means we had a lot of water to bring with us. I even had to use the latrine a few times, and it was great.
Latrine!
If my cousin and I did want to watch a movie, which we did only once up there, we had to turn on his generator, and I would do this trip all over again, just like I would do a Pioneer Trek if given the opportunity to. Kevin.
May I?
Shortly, please, yes.
With brevity. Kevin, good for you. I say with all sincerity. Also good for Janae, for the record. That being said, I think, like many other things, we can allow for the fact that there's enough room in this church, culturally, to disagree on things like this. Trek is not part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I continue to think that it's disrespectful. Thanks. I hope you get to go on Trek sometime.
Hey, what's that book?
Oh, by Cleon Skousen?
Yeah, what is that?
Cleansing of America? Let me look. The exact title is...
What is it?
Cleansing of America by Cleon Skousen.
Great.
What is that book?
It's Not Like Planted. Let's take a break and we'll come back and do the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. I'm going to eat a cookie.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News. We'll get to actual Articles of News in a minute. A couple of things that Jenny Molly wanted to clarify. One, she didn't have sex while she was on vacation with her boyfriend.
What's the term I said?
Consummate. The ugliest. Thank you. The ugliest terminology.
Most romantic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Two, she wasn't saying that Pioneer Trek is a church mistake.
Or that dedicating Martin's Cove is a church mistake. I acknowledge, though, and appreciate, like many others, that the essays that have been released by the church indicate that there have been mistakes made in the past and that they are becoming more readily accessible. Those details are to members through the essays and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah. What else?
So yesterday I was sick.
Oh, yeah. That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. I woke up. I just was feeling really, really, really... unwell.
How really unwell? Are we talking pukey?
No, but okay. Physically and mentally, I was purely exhausted.
Okay.
I needed to rest. My body needed a rest. My mind needed a rest. But my turn, and my ward meets at 11.
Okay.
I slept in till like 8:30, 8:45.
Good for you.
But I was like, I can't go. And I think I made myself more anxious about not going. I was texting my brother and his wife, and I was just like, I need validation. I need somebody to tell me it's okay to not go to church if you're sick. I have it in my mind that it's only 3 hours and especially here, I live not far. It's not a far distance to travel, and I can certainly...
Yeah, it's not like you have to drive an hour, so it's not like church really becomes 5 hours. It really is like 3 hours and 15 minutes with travel time.
Or even if I were to go, for not even sacrament meeting, for just the sacrament, that's 20 minutes. Can I not put a dress on, wash my face, put a dress on, and go sit for 20 minutes? Yesterday, I could not, and I slept for hours. But why? I don't think I'm alone in this.
No.
Do you guys have experience with feeling guilt about missing church?
Yeah, and I give in. I absolutely go. Like if
this
like
is
if
the first
it's
time.
If it's
yeah.
so bad for me, like mm-hmm. I'll just be like going for the sacrament, and it's like, amen, take the water, and then I'm out.
Yes, because I've done that.
Right.
And the only time in my life where I've not gone when I've been feeling legitimately bad is when I could blame it on, or maybe not blame it on, but rationalize it by, oh, I have a newborn, I have a baby, I have a sick kid.
Right.
But when it's me, man, why do I have a hard time with that?
Yeah. Well, I think it really does become a thing where it's so indoctrinated of, are you doing the very best that you can? Mm-hmm. And so then it becomes this sort of toss up in your mind where it's like, well, is this the very best that I can? Because right. I've also done times where it's like, I woke up, my church is at 9, and it seems like I've had church at 9 for the last 3 years just based on moves and different wards and splitting of wards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, if I get up at 8:30 and I'm like, nope, then I'll go to sleep again and I'll look at 11 and go, nope, still. And then I'll probably catch like sacrament meeting at 1 o'clock. So
right.
I'll just, you know, I'll put it as much off as I can, but typically I'll go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's terrible about the anxiety that it causes us, though.
Isn't it? Yeah. And my brother's response was, hey, I have stewardship over you because I'm your little brother.
Yeah.
And he said, it's okay to miss church sometimes, particularly if you are not well. I mean it. I read it last week and I love you, but also his wife was nice enough to say, just do what you can do. Church isn't meant to be a burden.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I sort of reside in the, if I can be there.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be there. And mm-hmm. that's a hard thing because it's like, well, of course I
can
be there.
Right, right.
But that's where I always beat myself up. I'm the king of self-deprecation and mm-hmm. beating my own self up.
Yeah.
And then ending up doing something that, it, you know, for all intents and purposes, there have been times where I shouldn't have gone to church just because I'd get other people sick.
Right.
So here's my argument for it. Why go to church out of guilt?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't disagree, but...
I mean, like, I go to church because I feel guilty. I mean, that's a terrible reason to go to church.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I don't live like that. I think there are times where I'd rather take the day off or whatever, but it's like... And I say to myself, okay, I want to serve, and if I don't serve, where am I going to get that in this week? Or I have an obligation, and I have made a commitment.
Sure.
I have to go teach these kids. I'm going to do that. And so, I mean, I guess there is guilt there, but I think that's one of the biggest problems with what I see with people within the churches. Guilt driving as a force. I follow the commandments because I feel guilty. I do this because I'm guilty. And I just hate that.
Wife of the party?
When you are physically or mentally ill, sometimes going to church has the added challenge of when you ask yourself the question, am I doing enough? And you show up at church and then sister so-and-so asks you for this and brother so-and-so asks you for this. And then you're asked to sing in church. And then you're asked if you can come to some activity that you can't go to. And you just start feeling it just weighs on you so much. And I have these sweet little old ladies in my ward and nobody my age. And one of them asked me yesterday, and it's hard to go to church. For me, it's hard, and I go, and that's about as much as I can do right now. And sweet little old lady comes up to me and asks me to do something, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I have a show that night or whatever it was. And she looks at me and shakes her head and clicks her tongue and says, I just don't know what to do with you, and walks away. And it's stuff like that.
Sure.
It's hard. So when you are feeling physically or mentally ill and you can't make it to church, it's okay.
The majority of the people who are listening to this agree with us. It's these little old ladies who don't listen to our podcast, and it's the people that expect so much from other people because they are doing so much. Like, well, I'm doing it. Why can't you do it? And so it's hard because you don't want to go to church to be judged.
Sure.
Larissa, you smell good.
So.
It's those cookies, which I had one. So delicious.
Why did we start talking about this?
Church. Just church stuff.
Okay.
Let's do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
That's kind of what we talk about.
You can't lose articles of news.
Church stuff.
So I want to start here. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Maybe this affected more in my realm because this guy taught seminary at my high school. and he apparently taught in the institutes around here. But if you guys heard about it, a father and daughter and son were killed in a crash on I-15 last Sunday. Not yesterday, but a week before, as they returned home from a trip celebrating the son's LDS church mission.
Mm.
Gosh.
Michael Brandt of Henderson, Nevada, was driving the family on I-15 near Las Vegas about 3 p.m., when the SUV drifted into the median, then overcorrected back to the right and began to roll. As the SUV tumbled off the road, Brandt and three others, his son Carlin, his daughter Ashley, and his son-in-law Kikoa Piena, were thrown from the vehicle. His wife Joy was still restrained in the front seat when the vehicle caught fire. Michael Brandt, Carlin Brandt, and Ashley Piena were pronounced dead on the scene. Investigators have been unable to determine whether they were wearing seatbelts, the Highway Patrol reported. Kikoa Piena and Joy Brandt remain hospitalized in Las Vegas on Tuesday, according to a family friend. Casey Neely, who grew up in Henderson next door to the family, said the Brandts enjoyed nothing better than spending time with one another. They were especially happy to celebrate the marriage of Ashley and Kikoa last year, and Carlin Brandt's return 2 weeks ago. So it's a brand new 2-week return missionary from Alabama.
Hmm.
The trip to Utah, Neely said, was in honor of Carly's homecoming. The Brandt family are the kindest, happiest, most loving people. They're loyal friends and light up the room. The people that we lost are gold. We'll always remember Mike's welcoming arms, Ashley's contagious laugh, and Carlin's squinty-eyed smile. Countless individuals have been touched by their love and service. Brother Brandt was an instructor at the LDS Institute of Religion in Las Vegas. But as I mentioned, he had taught here in Utah for a great deal of time. There's a Friends of the Brandt family organized a GoFundMe where more than $53,000 had been donated as of this last Tuesday. So you can search Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T family on GoFundMe if you want to support that, if you knew them or if you just want to throw some support that way. So tragic. Two wow. weeks. Home for 2 weeks.
Gosh. That's sad.
What do you have?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Well,
say couldn't be, and then I go, then who?
Could
who?
It be?
Then who?
Rob.
Rob stole the cookies from the cookie jar.
Wow, I'm low on the uptake on that one.
Yep.
Slow on the
editor's note here says, the Deseret News has asked the major presidential candidates to share their views with our readers. We've published exclusive op-eds from Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. We are pleased to offer this exclusive op-ed from Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Says Hillary Clinton, I'm running for president to make sure our country continues to live up to our founding principles. Those timeless ideas teach us that we're stronger together when we work in unison to solve our problems, no matter what we look like, where we come from, or how we pray. That last one is important. As Americans, we hold fast to the belief that everyone has the right to worship however he or she sees fit.
Hey.
I've been fighting to defend religious freedom for years. And along with John Huntsman, our then ambassador in Beijing, I stood in solidarity with Chinese Christians facing persecution from their government. I'm just kind of skimming here. Essentially, Hillary Clinton wrote a letter in partial Mormon speak to Mormons to reach out to the, you know, traditionally Republican voting crowd.
Although this year, state of Utah, kind of an up for grab state. They
yes.
think.
Yes, we are a possible swing state.
Yep.
Because Trump has offended all Republicans.
Because he's a clown.
Apparently not all Republicans.
Well, not all.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Most Mormon Republicans, because he questioned Mitt Romney's faith.
And so in this other piece, we'll link all these at theculturalhall.com. In an op-ed published Wednesday, Hillary Clinton extended a hand to one of the most Republican voting blocs in the country, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as part of an audacious strategy to make inroads into some of the reddest states in the country. Her piece reflects a basic difference between her and her opponent. Clinton assumes everyone has interests and preferences that must be acknowledged and hopefully reconciled. Trump assumes everyone is shallow and manipulable.
Mm.
Turns out she, or someone on her staff, speaks Mormon pretty well. It's easy for non-members to get LDS lingo wrong. Mormons have wards, not parishes, sacrament meeting, not mass, stakes, not diocese. Even non-members who should know better often have trouble, as when, in an early episode of HBO's Big Love, Harry Dean Stanton mispronounces Palmyra, yeah. Joseph Smith's hometown.
Not Palmyra.
Right.
I did like the nods that that Hillary Clinton makes in the letter, where it's like
Clinton recognizing
how they make.
Yeah, right.
What was this?
And handled the challenge well. Quote: "We know that it is so often that it so often takes a village or a ward working together to build the change we have to see."
That's great. Said. Good for her. She's got somebody on her staff.
Included
that...
a requisite reference to Mitt Romney. Also wrote of generations of LDS leaders from Joseph Smith and Brigham Young to Gordon Hinckley and Thomas Monson. And then this author points out that leaving out the middle initials kind of signifies that maybe she doesn't know what she's talking about. But, I mean, you know, hey.
Yeah.
You know what her apostolic name would be? H. Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
If she were a man.
Yeah. So,
We'll talk about names to women.
Yeah. Well, that's good for her. When it comes to this type of thing, there's this TV show I watch. It's called At Midnight. And when it comes to political stuff, they call it Panderdome. And I just, when I hear that, that's what all, you know, good politicians do. They pander to everybody and they want to make sure that they reach them. At least she's reaching out. Mm-hmm. Trump just questions, Mitt Romney's
Trump
faith.
Trump reached out today. I don't have the article, but if you want to pull it up.
Did he do something like this?
He did an op-ed.
I love the Mormons. The Mormons are great people. It's huge. It's great.
I'll look it up right now.
All right, look it up. But, I have a lot of friends who are in the I don't want to vote for Trump, don't want to vote for Hillary.
It's McMullen. He's my man.
Not Hillary, not Trump, never Hillary. Is it never Hillary, never Trump? I can't remember what it is. And so they're all looking at Gary Johnson
He gets weird about drugs. So people
And so
I'm telling you, it's this McMullen guy. Do you know about him?
No.
He is an independent candidate for president. He's a Provo native. He is a graduate from BYU, and he was in the CIA for a long time.
Oh.
And he doesn't stand a chance in the world, but he's a good-looking young white, essentially Republican, but running on the independent ticket.
Here it is.
Okay, here we go.
Donald Trump today published an op-ed countering Hillary Clinton's recent outreach to Mormon voters.
Huh. Well, now it's a reaction, because he didn't do it first. He did pander first.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear what he had to say.
Do you want a second to read it?
Can I read it in his voice?
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I'm going to find it.
I'll give you a second to find it, and I'll share this article with you guys.
Okay.
Do you know who Spencer Burho is? Does that name sound familiar?
No, should it?
Look at that handsome gentleman right there. That's Spencer Burho.
Okie dokie.
Burho is a professional model. He now calls New York home, and his profession has taken him to exotic destinations, such as Italy, Singapore, Australia, and more. He's worked for Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein. And his work includes many magazine photo shoots. He's been modeling full-time for about 3 years. The former Utah mostly models clothes, but works internationally and nationally, though based from New York. Burho is also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He said, quote, "I love the standards and the principles taught in the religion." Going on, he says, "I go to church and I hold myself to a high standard of living in terms of morality." While living in New York, Burho has seen Utahns hoping to make it in the industry, who are also LDS, move there and lower their standards to try and fit in the industry. He goes on to say, quote, "I have found, though, that that's not necessary to compromise your standards in order to be successful or to fit in, because you don't have to. You can just be in the world or in whenever you are, and you don't have to really do the things that everybody else does. And people will often look up to you and actually end up admiring your willingness to stick to your standards." Recently, Burho has been giving firesides to youths in Utah. He talks about being in the world, but not of the world. And if you'd like to schedule a fireside with Burho, that good-looking Spencer Burho, you can do so by emailing him at themodelmormon@gmail.com.
Good for that kid.
He is the very model of a
Mormon model. What's his website? Mormon model? He is the very model of a modern Mormon modeled man. What?
TheModelMormon@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to do this in Donald Trump's voice, Rob?
I haven't found it.
Okay, well, exclusive. Donald Trump, Utah can help. Donald Trump says Utah can help make America great again. Okay.
Well, I don't even think this is written in his words.
In just over 2 months, Utah and all of America will choose our next president. The bottom line is that we can't afford a third Obama term, and that's what Hillary Clinton represents. Utahns know that after 8 years adrift under President Obama, we need to make America great again by supporting our law enforcement, ending illegal immigration, defeating ISIS, bringing back jobs, and restoring conservative values.
Oh, so here it says, earning support and trust from the voters of Utah is like a top priority for me, is why I'm pleased to have the endorsement of so many great leaders like Governor Gary Herbert, Orrin Hatch. They have put their trust behind Trump. All right.
But as not our Lieutenant Governor, Spencer J. Cox.
As the people of the Beehive State know, the result of this election could have catastrophic consequences. It would be huge for our business, religious institutions, military, and families, or it could unleash remarkable growth and safety. A lot of things are said in political campaigns, but through all the noise, I want you to know two simple truths about how I will govern you as president. I will be honest with you, regardless of the political consequences, and I'll wake up every morning and have a cup of coffee in your honor.
Is that really what it says?
No. That's and do everything in my power to make America great again.
This one's for the Mormons, because you guys can't have it.
I love the Mormons. They love coffee. Let's have some coffee for the Mormons.
Did I get one of my points wrong? Is my talking points wrong?
All right. Why don't I put some liquor in this?
And you know, in the great Mormon tradition, I have also had three wives.
Hey.
Womp, womp, womp. But not at the same time. All right. Sorry, Kevin. Write your emails to Richie.
The Philadelphia Open House still continues. The temple there in Philadelphia, right downtown. Man, it's cool.
Yeah, it looks super cool.
If you've seen the pictures of it, it's right downtown, and there's a Catholic basilica right on kind of the same block that's there, and then it's among the high-rises of the city. We posted a picture, if you follow us on Instagram, at the Cultural Hall, of a group of Amish people, tons of Amish people in Pennsylvania, but a group of Amish people going in to check out the temple. Really cool picture. If you don't follow us on Instagram, it's at the Cultural Hall. We also shared it on Facebook as well.
Which, if I may, I went to school with some Amish people. Uh-huh. And by that, I mean like, because I grew up, you know, in New York by Amish people. Uh-huh. And there was a girl who, apart from her family, decided to identify herself as Amish. And in high school, she wouldn't get her picture taken because apparently there's a belief that
soul.
Takes your soul. So.
Yeah.
Who took that picture? I mean, I'm glad they did.
Oh,
but,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, every time I see pictures of Amish people, I'm like, you know what? They don't like that. That takes their soul.
If you smile at the camera, then it takes your soul.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you have to be like down with
like
the...
acknowledging the picture.
He's making that up.
I think Rob's making crap.
Yeah.
I was misled.
Shoot.
By that guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying. Oh, here are some real pictures, because all I've been, when I Google images, they're just like, pretend pictures like, oh, this is an artist rendering, but now I'm seeing...
It's
what?
Pretty. I like
of the...
Of
the Philadelphia Temple?
Yeah. Okay. I like the different, like, the night and day pictures. Really pretty.
It's cool because it's unique, and I love how the spires have, like, that feel of Revolutionary War era. Hmm. And I imagine that was done on purpose. I mean, of Constitutional era, whatever.
To the revolution.
Yeah, it's so cool. You guys got to look at these pitches. It's amazing. It's huge.
Hey, you're single and Mormon.
Am I?
Well, I mean, you have a boyfriend, so you're not married, though.
I am single and Mormon.
Yep.
Correct.
Are you planning on going to Stockholm next summer?
I'm sorry?
Each summer, young Mormons gather in Scandinavia with the hopes of finding true love at Festenord.
Is this supposed to be a vacation?
Festenord.
Festenord, this could be your vacation. If it doesn't work out with your boyfriend, this could be your vacation.
Next summer?
Yes. Because you'll know by then.
Do it.
Festenord means party in the north. It's an annual conference for young single... Oh, never mind.
No, never.
Shoot. Sorry.
Thanks.
For young single adults.
Yeah.
It's ages 18 to 30. Okay, so if you're listening and you're between the ages of 18 and 30... It's held in the Nordic European countries. It started in 1966, and this year is celebrating its 50th year anniversary. When Festenord started in 1966, the music trended toward folk and yielded results. 19-year-old Stephanie Mattsson of Gothenburg, Sweden, said her parents met at Festenord in 1970. Her mother's dancing caught her father's eye, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Blurg.
Until the late 2000s, Festinord, which rotates each year between Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and Finland, was only a small Nordic-only enterprise with a few hundred participants. Social media, however, has fueled connections, and a decline in travel costs have transformed it into an international congress of eternal companion seekers from as far away as New Zealand, according to the Wall Street Journal. This year, 821 singles from 31 countries attended, and for the first time, the Scandinavians were in the minority.
How many? 831?
821 from 31 countries.
An odd number.
Yeah.
Shoot.
There's one,
person didn't get married.
The conference is organized by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and most people that attend are members of the church, although it's not a requirement. So if you just want to marry a Mormon person, or date a Mormon person, or meet a Mormon person, you can go. Everyone between the ages mentioned above is welcome to attend as long as they agree to live by the standards during the week. This year, Festinord took place outside Stockholm in a suburban called Handen. Also, next year, Festinord will take place in Stockholm, Sweden, where this article writes. See you there, question mark?
Maybe I'll host my own
Festinord?
Nothing at IKEA, I don't know, right?
Yeah. We're having lingonberries and some meatballs,
and
over at the IKEA, and it's for mid-singles.
At the Festinord.
Come by a fjord.
I don't even know if I'm mid.
Together.
Am I mid?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mid.
Okay.
How old are
yes,
you?
Yes, you're mid.
39.
Yeah, you're 39.
Okay.
You're mid.
Okay.
You're not old singles.
What's old singles?
That's 45 plus.
Is it really?
You're getting there.
Jeez. Oh, I'm almost there.
Rob, you've got the police beat from BYU?
I do.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
I want to read this last one. We've mentioned this before. So I just want to give people an update. The title, the headline, former Mormon. Oh, yeah, we need to get there. Let's do that one first.
All right. If a married woman helps oversee the physical and mental health of 200 LDS missionaries, isn't there a better way to describe her than as the mission president's wife?
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed. That's a question the Mormon Women's Journal Square 2 asked its readers a couple of months ago, and 96% of 463 respondents, all female, answered with a resounding yes. The majority, 58%, suggest also calling her president, like her husband, or some variation, co-president, presidentess, presidenta. Valerie Kassler, founder and editor, and Nyland McBain, author of Women at Church, reported.
And previous guest of the Cultural Hall.
Yes, reported in the journal's recent issue. A common response, they noted, was that both partners be president as they are both serving. This was one of a handful of questions about Mormon women's titles the journal posed to its readers in its unscientific survey. Almost as many commenters, 82%, favored replacing the term Heavenly Father with Heavenly Parents in the faith's young women theme, repeated weekly by those ages 12 to 17, so that it becomes, we are daughters of our heavenly parents who love us and we love them.
Hmm.
I just got chills saying that. Mormons believe in a divine father and a divine mother. The current version of the theme is absent any indication that the heavenly family includes both a mother and a father, as we are told it should on earth, Kassler and McBain wrote. And this absence is especially pernicious to young women who are learning by very definition to model divinity. Then there's this issue of what to call the young women subgroups, currently dubbed Beehives, Maya Maids, and Laurels. About 75% favored new names for those classes, including 14% who would like to see only Maya Maids changed. The term maid does not mean now what it once meant, maiden, and connotes in the 21st century an often ill-paid and unskilled housekeeper, the authors explained. Maid is an ancient virginal reference, said one respondent. Girls, at least American, these days think of maid only as in hotel housekeeping, said another. Maya refers to Mutual Improvement Association, which no longer exists.
Housekeeping?
In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The names feel dated and lacking weight, some commenters lamented, when compared with the teenage boys' classes, deacons, teachers, and priests.
Hmm.
Some 14% of respondents would like the young women groups to be deaconesses, teachers, and priestesses, Kassler and McBain wrote.
Mm.
We are anointed the same as them in the temple, one commenter said. Why not recognize that as youth progress toward the temple? And then there are, you know, more in this article that we'll have linked on theculturalhall.com. More suggestions of what people are, you know, yeah, given for,
I think
the names.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
And nothing that compares young women to flowers, fruit, or other objects, please.
Once I was a deaconess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even in that movie, there's a line that I was thinking on the way up. I couldn't remember what it was, but like, Beehive, why aren't you just bees or something like that. What, right. Is that what they say in the movie?
So, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, presidents, right? Oh, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh,
you still
sorry.
Got more?
One more thing. Okay. This survey was only open to women because we were specifically interested in the exercise of women naming themselves rather than letting men describe women and what they do. These statistical results and the hundreds of comments that accompanied them serve to confirm that the names of women's organizations and roles in the church are awkward at best and demoralizing for most.
Hmm. Sweet.
Like, I get the president, right? President. Mm-hmm. I've never understood that.
Same. Yeah.
Because if they're both called, they're both giving up 3 years of their lives to be that. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's, I mean, at least sister, right?
Right. Sister, you know, but president.
Yeah.
Yeah. But president.
But president.
Like President Oscarsson, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she's a president.
Right.
But if you're referring to the male mission president, you would say president. So we got to figure out something else when we're referring to the.
How about mission president's husband?
But, you know, you could say something like, I don't know. It's just because.
I guess to Rob's point is if it's like you have to speak to the mission president, then it becomes a thing where it's like the he or the she mission
sure.
president. So there has to be some sort of distinguishing.
But I've always referred to him when I was on. It was the sister so-and-so, mm-hmm. you know, and then you knew it was the president's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it right now. So, right. I mean, if once they find out, it just can't be president because. Yeah, I don't know.
And then as far as the young women goes, yeah, the names are weird. They're old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like Beehive, My Maid. And it's right. It's absolutely right. Maybe we should do something on Twitter. Rename the offices of the women. I think that people would get weird, and this speaks probably more towards the culture than anything else, but I think people would go, deaconess, priestess.
Deaconess is the one term that I was like,
That sounds weird.
Yeah. But teacher and priestess I can get behind.
Yeah. But I think you'll see people have far more resistance
because
it's an assumption of
priesthood.
Right. To go that way. But definitely the name change to something a little bit more
stalwart.
Yeah. Than Beehive, Maya Maid, and Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
Laurel. You've got let me do this story real quick, and
then we'll wrap things up.
The Provo News Beat. We've mentioned this before. James Lynn Wilson said that he would slaughter a church congregation and ranted that he would punish the children of the town again. Do you guys remember this story? It's a former Mormon who threatened in court to repeat the Dunblane massacre, and he was remanded in custody yesterday. James Lynn Wilson, who not only is a crazy person, but also makes a fine burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Was appearing for a sentence after threatening to slaughter a Scottish church congregation and execute Elder Stephen Kerr, who stood as a Tory parliamentary candidate at 2 general elections. But after being told by Sheriff William Gilchrist he could not be sentenced without an assessment of the risk he poses to society, Lynn Wilson, you know, and his food products, said, quote, "I'll be punishing the children of Dunblane again." Sterling Sheriff Court was told a risk assessment had not been completed due to him becoming upset and angry when a social worker visited him in jail. Sheriff Gilchrist said, "I have a letter from a social worker that says you became threatening to him. That's why there's no report." The accused, 43, had a request for bail thrown out. The incidents took place between February 16th and March 22nd this year. Sentence was deferred until the 31st of August, so we'll keep people posted on that. The BYU Provo Beat.
Let's do this. All right, guys. We have, this is the latest one. And, you know, they're about a week behind here.
Sure.
So this is for August 2nd. So it's for the last week of July.
Okay.
Give me your predictions. When it comes to theft, what is the thing that is often most theft?
It's the bike.
And so, how many bikes were stolen during that week?
During the week, there was 17 bikes stolen.
$1, Bob.
$1.
Oh, right. Sure. Thanks a lot, jerk. You're always the $1 undercut, Garrett.
Jenny wins. 4.
Ah! Mm. That's not that many.
And so, but still, it's like the major thing that gets stolen. July 20th, a female reported her bike stolen. Bike lock was cut, left along with her helmet. Bike valued at?
$225.
$1, Bob.
$75. Jenny wins.
Will you stop it?
Okay. You can start at
$1.
Okay. July 20th, a bike was stolen from the bike rack near Heritage Hall. Sometimes between June 30th and July 18th, the bike was locked with cable lock also missing. Very expensive bike.
$750.
$1, Bob.
Richie wins this time. $1,600.
Whoa, at Heritage? much?
I know. A $1,600 bike.
Why would you be driving that thing
you
around?
You don't know.
My prediction is a dude overestimated his bike, and then this female underestimated her bike.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She was like,
oh, it's nothing. $1,700.
Totally.
All right. A male student briefly left his backpack on a bench in the men's RB locker room. RB being running back
building.
Oh, okay. Not running back building. Okay,
don't
the bag was missing.
That I knew that.
Yeah.
I'm a BYU.
When he returned, so he called BYU police. Police responded to search for the area, find the backpack. The backpack had been searched, and a digital Sony recorder and a portable battery. So it was a digital Sony Walkman. Total value at
$27.
$1.
$76. All right, Jenny's got. I think she's got. She's 2-1. So a male student, oh no, she's like 3-1 right now. A male student locked two bikes together at a bike rack at YView. The student reported that he found his lock cut and most expensive of the two bikes. So only one got stolen. Bike valued at?
$450.
$250.
Richie wins because he's the closest. It was $400.
Nope, she wins because I went over.
I don't care, but you were closer. $320. We're not gonna. By we're gonna. I can change the rules.
Okay.
All right. Criminal mischief.
Oh. Oh.
The North University Field tunnels had black and blue writing on the walls. They were notified, and graffiti was taken down.
Stupid.
Right. Fraud. A father told police that his son, a BYU student, responded to a check cashing job posted on BYU Bridge. The student received a blank check in the mail. How much was the check for?
It was blank.
No, I'm saying...
Oh, I thought the question was...
Fill in the blank.
Oh.
How much was the check for?
$100,000.
$800.
Richie wins. $1,460.
Yeah.
All right, we're all tied up.
Okay, one more.
Okay, here we go.
One more, and then it's a bullet in this thing. We're done with this episode.
A 28-year-old male was rappelling in the Red Slab area in Rock Canyon.
Okay.
Is that in... Okay.
That's Provo Canyon.
Oh, and he fell to his death. Okay. Oh,
this is jeez. Not... I'm not guessing.
Okay. Burglary. Okay, how about this?
Okay.
A woman was meeting two potential buyers of a camera she posted online. When she showed the camera to them, they took it from her and ran. Orm, with help from Spanish Port Police... And the two were identified and booked into jail.
Value of the camera? Is that what we're guessing on?
Yes.
You don't know, though. You're going to make it up.
I am. Because I have no idea how much the camera
is. He's going to make it up. So let's see who he wants to win.
$1,100.
$1,101.
Jenny wins. It was a cheap camera.
It was a Polaroid.
It was something they bought at Costco for $200.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you are sick or afflicted or had your bike stolen, that you'll be able to return to us next week with a new bike.
We hope that wherever you live, if there's moisture falling, you're able to escape and go on an actual grown-up vacation.
Where you don't have sex. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
In the back seat.
Of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.